Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to my Dog Psychology Radio Show. My name is Dale McCluskey. I'd like to welcome you. On today's show, I'm going to be discussing the secret of success when it comes to adopting a dog, and specifically adopting a dog from a rescue, a shelter, and how it relates to, coming into right relationship, how it relates to making sure that you're not going to set a kind of a chain of events off, which is going to lead to behavior problems. And so what I show is it's very, very critical that you're thinking properly, that you're not starting to see the dog coming from the shelter as, within the framework of weakness as it relates to abuse. And so many people, and this is a very common thing that happens with people that, adopt dogs, is that right away they start to, their thinking starts to shift. They start to see the dog as a, injured. They start to put that thinking onto the dog in a way that really sets things in motion to really create a nightmare scenario. And what happens is the dog may end up back at the shelter or back at the rescue because, the dog is going to start to gain power. Because the thing to understand is nature is such that dogs are in the here and now. They're what really matters to them, basically the only thing that matters to them, is how the person is connecting, how they're thinking, and whether or not they're coming into right relationship, whether or not they're filling that void in the dog's life through the pack relationship. So they're very critical, and dogs are relational beings. That's the thing that really is a stumbling stone for so many people, including dog behavioralists and trainers. This whole idea that training is a learning-based exercise, and I show very, very clearly that that gets people into trouble right away because it sets up a scripting problem. And, the scripting problem is related to response and using certain motivating agents, influencing agents such as treats. And it's not just the issue of the treats. It's the issue of how this all packages itself up together relationally with changing how people think. And oftentimes what happens is, when you're using certain ideas about training or certain approaches, it shifts the focus. What it does is that's why learning, treating, training, and learning-based exercise is so problematic, because it shifts the focus onto the dog rather than onto the owner as the agent of change. It doesn't promote change in and through the owner properly. It shifts it. And so what happens is it sets things in motion so that even though, and this is very, very common, you'll see a picture of change. So you'll see everything appearing to come together through the typical kind of cookie cutter, scripting, which, really I even show why that's a problem. I don't focus on training like that because, you can create a picture of change through the script and the dog is going through the typical sit, down, come and stay. And it'll look fantastic, but you can't put all your eggs in that basket. You can't, so many trainers are just looking at that and saying, well, that looks great. It must represent that change is happening. And oftentimes it just simply is not true at all. I mean, the dog is continuing to devalue. They're just going through the motions of there's something in it for them, okay, within these controlled environments. So that's why there's a disconnect. A lot of these trainers doing this, they're not, they're not connecting that dot that way to a dog's decision-making process through unwanted behavior. They're not looking at whether or not the dog's state of mind is actually diminishing or not, because behavior issues are, they represent a elevated state of mind. Behaviors will take behavior and they'll try to package it all up and they'll try to run these concepts through it to change it through what defines behavior modification through counter conditioning. And I show very clearly is you can switch out the imagery again, you can create a different association but the dog, you're just extending that devaluation script out. And so this is something that is, I know it's very challenging for people to get. In fact, what I put out there is somebody, people that have the best hope of actually, you know, getting what I'm saying, actually understanding, are the people, I'll tell you right now, it's the people that are not trainers. I mean, the people who have not invested into a certain way of thinking. They're going to get what I'm saying long before the dog behavioralists or these balanced trainers or anyone who has already crossed certain lines. Okay, they've already kind of settled into a certain way of thinking. They're not going to shake loose from that. I mean, there's a turning over to it. So, you know, I mean, people will just write off what I'm saying and continue to blame dogs and medicate dogs. And so it's just a culture that's set up because it's so much to do about how people think. It's relational. It's all about the relationship. So, but that goes into this issue of, and it really almost like it elevates up into a character issue with people because, that's why I say this whole ideology is morally and ethically bankrupt because, you know, and you get into another level, okay, called idolatry. I'm going to get into that next week through a whole series of shows. I'm going to show exactly why it is, if you're just looking at this stuff and you're wondering why it is that, you know, a group like PETA, which is in the news, like PETA could show up at someone's house and because the Chihuahua isn't on a, you know, isn't secured on a leash and the Chihuahua's out on the guy's front step, how it is that they could take the dog and leave a fruitcake in its place with a note on it saying PETA took the dog because it wasn't secured. And then the owner calls up only to find out his dog's been killed. PETA killed his dog. They put the dog to sleep. And you sit back and wonder, like, how can things get so twisted? I mean, how can this turn into such a level of insanity? Well, I'm going to discuss that, okay, on next week's shows. I'm going to get into this issue, what, you know, why it is that I show, and this is where I come from, dogs are in our lives to show us something more. They really are. It's a window. It's an opportunity. And how is it all truth points towards God? And so, yeah, I'm going to get into that because it comes up anyway. If you look at the whole discussion forums, people, because it's like the big question, you know, that people have. It's going to go because it is about nature. But then if you're just looking at it from a secular view, it's not going to make sense at a certain level. You're going to wonder how it is that things can get so radical and people can get so twisted and so angry. I mean, the angriest people you'll find are the ones that are over the stuff at the highest level. I mean, they'll kill dogs and they'll just move forward because it's self. It's all about self, a very selfish way of thinking. And people don't like me saying because, you know, what I do is I expose the real motives. That's the problem. There's all these false narratives out there about, you know, positive reward-based training and all this stuff. It's a total lie. It's a total deception. And society has basically bought into it. And, you know, so the question really is, do people really care about dogs that way? My answer is no. Okay. I mean, if they did, they wouldn't have so many dogs being killed and showing up at shelters and shelters crammed full of dogs because people are unwilling to come in the right relationship. And everyone's all too busy, you know, building these false narratives to even really care. So, you know, it's a morally and ethically bankrupt you know, way of connecting with animals. And, you know, this has gotten to this level in this generation for a reason, because people are just trying to shake loose from the truth. And so, you know, and the thing is, people can get as upset as they want with what I have to say, but if I, you know, closed my business tomorrow and walked away from it and went on to do something else, nothing's going to change. So it isn't just because Dale McCluskey, I'm just showing it. I'm just showing them, putting it out there for people, and I'm showing the truth of it. And it's not the type of truth people want to hear because people just don't want to hear it, okay, because that's how this all works, goes down. So anyway, I'll be talking about this on my next week series of shows. I'm going to go into a whole different level. So if you're looking for real answers, I'm going to put it out there. just so people can see it. Because let's put it this way: the whole issue here is that it's about, you know, people's identity. This is why people get so angry, because they're suffering from a type of identity crisis. Because if this was real science, okay, we could have people could have a normal discussion and truly bring this stuff out into the light. Okay, these people who are promoting, you know, learning the way they're doing it, they're totally misrepresenting learning theory. And you bring this stuff fully out in the light to be exposed, but it isn't going to happen, okay, because that's not how it operates. They don't want that to happen because it totally just implodes everything. And so it's a complete joke. And so you can't, you know, the whole thing was you can't lean on someone's education. If people, those who call themselves dog behaviorists, I'm going to get into that in a couple of shows this week, discussing why even certain terms really are a total just a washout. I mean, you know, talking about what is a dog behaviorist, you know, really that has a very negative connotation for me, because typically it aligns with this ideology, and those people who are doing this are the worst offenders when it comes to learning ideology. So it's a total mess, really, and I spent a few days talking about why it is the dog training world is in such a mess. And I am going to move forward here and focus on the positive, but, you know, you have to understand, this is a big stumbling stone. I mean, this is why I talk about this issue so much, because it's prevalent. It's the most critical issue to understand, because you have to get to a point of understanding the level at which a dog's decision-making process is influenced at the relational level, okay? So this idea that training is a learning-based exercise is a real problem. And so I'm going to continue to advocate for what training is. Even balance trainers, I know I'm giving them a difficult time lately, because what I'm saying is, you know, what's going on? So many things really fuel people's inability to see things. You know, it's greed, trying to be successful, identity, you know, truth is going to take a back seat to those things. And in the process, the dogs are going to be devalued. That's what's happening. The value a dog holds only goes as far as the person allows. And so this issue of, you know, positive reward basis, it's supposed to this narrative that it's love based. It's not love at all that way, true love, through mutual meeting another's needs. It's not. It's a total lie. So everything is so twisted up. So, but the problem here is once you cross the first line, like once you, you know, cross that line the first time with medicating the first dog or blaming the first dog, it just makes it so much easier to do the next time. And sooner or later, then you're next thing you know, you're writing books on it, and you're a popular guy. You're making lots of money because that's the culture right now. You know, because what I, you know, from what I'm doing, I'll be the least popular person, but I'll be the most content. Okay, that's the other issue here. I'll be the most content and the happiest guy, because don't get me wrong, I'm, you know, this stuff is very unsettling, but I'm able to step back far enough from it to really see what's going on. It's a people problem, and those who are, you know, seeking success and identity, they're never going to be happy. I don't care if you're a balance trainer or what you're doing. If you're not truly stepping back and truly approaching things the way that they need to be, in the end, I don't know. I just see it as a complete waste of time. And worse, you're not doing, not truly doing yourself any favors here. So, but I'm going to talk about all that again. I'm going to get into that next week's show more. So on today's show, I'm focusing in on the secret of success when it comes to adopting a dog. Now, this is the thing about understanding how people think. I mean, so much of it is about, you know, I show dogs share a very deep and profound connection with us, and it's deeper than most people comprehend. I think a lot of people assume that you can think a certain way and get away with it. Like you can kind of have your cake and eat it too. You can be very emotional with your dog and not have to worry about reconciling those emotions through leadership. You can just connect any way you want. And then because of this possessiveness, how dogs connect with people doing that, it'll come off as though you have some sort of special relationship the dog loves you, but they'll be attached, but for the wrong reasons. This is the thing to understand. So all these behavior problems are still over that. They're not some sort of a gap between your connection and the disconnect between the behavior issues. No, it's causation. Okay, it's the reason they're happening. It's because of the fact of the dog is seeing you as a non-essential, so to speak. You're not coming in the right relationship. You're not fulfilling the leadership role. So the dog is filling that void. All dogs will do it. I mean, the need levels could be higher, but it's the same need. That's the thing to understand. It's not about, if you look at personality types like we do about people, it's different that way. Dogs have the same need. It's through nature. It's governed through nature. And it translates in strength and weakness. And this goes into this issue of how people think. It's your personality type. Okay? It's very problematic for people, but it's, you know, we're very, very bad at assessing our own thinking process or getting a kind of a baseline as to how that translates. We're really bad at it because we just are. I mean, I'm not to be negative, but we give ourselves sometimes way too much credit for where we're standing and this is the problem with dogs. So getting back to this issue of adopting a dog, okay, this is the thing about how humans think. And don't get me wrong, empathy is a good thing. Okay, having empathy, caring for other people, caring for animals, that's good. You know, I don't want to take that away. But it's about, you know, how that translates and how to make sure it's reconciled. That's the thing about, it's very similar to being a parent. Okay, so much permissive parenting right now, people trying to be friends to their children instead of, you know, preparing them for the real world. And so, you know, but the issue of love, the issue of parenting, it's the same thing. When you're, you know, when you're raising a child, I put it like this, with my kids, you know, it's always, you know, I love you to death, but don't be fooled. And that don't be fooled isn't a bad thing. It's not meant to be a threat or anything like that. It's meant to be, hey, I'm going to establish the parameters of the relationship through what you need, not what you want. I mean, there's definitely want and needs here, but kids are looking for direction. I mean, they need to, you know, discipline is not intended to be a bad thing. I mean, so much of that now is people are trying to redefine everything, including how you raise children. But in the end, the end result is where you end up. I mean, there's so many studies lately showing that so many, you know, this generation is so self-focused, it's unbelievable. You know, so everything gets twisted. But it's the same thing here with understanding, you know, psychology, of understanding where, you know, our thinking process to make sure that it's you know, it's being reconciled through leadership. And the thing is, with the difference between, it's the same thing as permissive parenting as even with dogs, is that the permissive parent can get away with it because it's like, you know, you're not putting those boundaries and rules on your child, but someone else is going to have to deal with it. Okay, that's the thing to understand. The police, when the real world kicks in, you're wondering why your teenage son just got fired from the first job because they can't function under authority. Okay, the real world's hitting, and because it's all about them, they can't function because you set them up for failure. You didn't prepare them for the real world. And so you sent them on a kind of a course of destruction. And in the end, the real issue, and this is the thing about permissive parenting, it causes conflict in marriages. It causes conflict with the children. Yeah, but there's almost like an appearance as though you're not responsible because of how those dynamics play out. And it's the same as with dogs. There's the appearance as though, you know, you can shrug off causation or responsibility because of how the dynamic's set up, even with this possessive connection. So you can, you know, assume the dog loves you because the dog's attached to you, but it's not right relationship. That's the thing to understand. It's totally upside down. The script is flipped. The dog isn't with you as a follower, connected that way. The dog's with you because they're devaluing it. And the ability to understand what it is here's the task. Okay, when you assert a leadership, or what I define as reasonable influence, I'll talk about this on future shows, the dog is going to challenge that. That's why the leash is the first thing, the leash walk is the first thing to implode or come under a problem, a scripting problem, because the dog doesn't see you that way. Okay, he's rejecting your authority. He's rejecting leadership. And the issue with psychology is such, when we talk about what's reasonable, okay, soon people that are very, very emotional, what happens is nothing's reasonable. Okay, so even what would be within the context of reasonable influence or leadership, using a leash a certain way, they'll even have a problem with that. Okay, they see they're so far to the left because they're coming from a radical position of unbalance. That's the thing to understand here. People that think a certain way, that's why I show training is an intervention, because the focus needs to come on to the person to change. Almost you need an intervention. But because the person has control of the dog, it's problematic because the dog doesn't have a voice in this. I mean, the person has authority over the dog whether they're wanting to or not. You know what I'm saying? It's so twisted. This is why people who get into this thing about, you know, how they see physical force and how they frame that up between using a leash a certain way and doing this a certain way, doing that a certain way. It's a joke because you can't escape it. That's the thing I show is it's relational. It's part of the person themselves. So people, these ideologues that have this idea about certain devices and certain way collars and leashes, physical force doesn't frame up that way, okay, in nature. Okay, it's defined relationally. It comes to the person. That's something that, again, this is one of these concepts that many people are not going to get unless you're stepping far enough back to connect these dots. And that's just how it is. But to understand this issue, getting back to adopting a dog, okay, I know I'm going off some rabbit trails here, but is to understand that the dog doesn't care about, and this is the thing about the past to a dog coming from a rescue shelter. Yes, abuse is a terrible thing. I mean, dogs suffer a tremendous amount of abuse, and that needs to be dealt with, whether it's through the police or whatever. However, once a dog, dogs think different. That's the thing to understand. Dogs don't relate or don't package up situations, their past that way, the same as humans do. You know, nature deals with it differently. Okay, strength and weakness. It's you know, at the associative level, they may have a certain association to something that is extremely would be considered negative, but it's relational at the same time too. It's not just negative the way we think negative. It's about it comes to the pack hierarchy. It's how dogs communicate. So how it influences the decision-making process is different. Okay, how the mind reacts to certain things is not the same. There's not that depth, or there's not that type of a multi-layered type of thinking process going on that humans have. So it's more simplistic than that. It's all about strength and weakness again. You know, how that's defined. So when the problem though is you know how that you know the issue of how we think about those situations, what we're doing is we're transferring that onto the dog. We're almost like thinking for the dog. I mean that's generally what happens. People will see a dog coming from a rescue situation, and it's very common even for the people involved in rescue to promote it this way. Not all people, but some will really focus in on that, on the physical need of the dog, or what happened to the dog physically. And so that's why many people in rescue, I'll talk about this for a second, many people in rescue, a lot of them have a real difficult time truly rehabilitating dogs, because they're looking at the physical at a way that's not helpful. They're not approaching it as nature does. So the issue of truly healing a dog through mind and body oftentimes doesn't happen. Many people in rescue are doing it because they feel badly for the dog, but again, they're not reconciling their emotions. They're just letting their emotions run wild. A lot of them go into dog rescue for a type of self-medication. Okay, they go in, but it's very self-focused. Again, very self-focused. Again, getting into this thing about their real motives for being in these places or being involved with dogs a certain way. And that's why you'll see people that, it's very common for a lot of people to make a statement that they have a special connection with dogs more so than people. They feel like they connect with animals better than people. Well, no, the problem is they can get away with saying that because the dogs, again, are connecting to them in a very possessive way. So the connection they're having with the animals is not in right relationship. Okay. I mean, that's kind of mind-blowing, but that's what it is. So they'll be thinking these dogs, they have this special connection. These dogs are with them because they just, I don't know, they have some sort of a kinetic connection with them and all this stuff. It's not that at all. I mean, the dogs that are with them are in a dysfunctional state. Okay, they're not being, you know, they're not truly rehabbing these dogs. And on another show, I'll discuss my situation with the dog rescue that happened here in Florida. Extremely negative experience for these dogs because of how this sets up. But again, getting into this thing about rescue, so the really important point here is when you get a dog from, you know, rescue or from a shelter, it's very critical that you just focus on meeting the leadership needs of the dog. Totally erase any thought of abuse. You have to reconcile that. Put that behind you. Let go of the baggage. Your dog could have suffered tremendous abuse, and don't get me wrong, you know, that's something that you have to understand that nature operates on a different frequency. And the problem with this is how it sets up. If you don't let go of that baggage and that dog comes into your home and you're projecting that onto the dog, it will appear as though that's what it really is going on. Because now the dog is relating to you, you're immediately going to experience behavior problems in a big way, and now that's just going to serve as a self-fulfilling prophecy, okay, as if that is truly, in your mind, that's exactly what it is. That dog suffered terrible abuse, and now look, I got all these behavior problems, but the thing you don't understand is that you created them, okay? I mean, you created them, and that just joins up together, and now that just reaffirms it, and now look, and that's not what's happened at all, okay? It's causation. It comes directly from that person that has in the here and now. So I know it's a tough thing for people to do, but you have to reverse course. You have to totally flip the script, and you have to start to make positive change towards fulfilling a dog's leadership role. So just something to think about. You know, the secret of success is about how you think in the here and now. That's the secret of success when it comes to adopting a dog. And just really think about that. So if you want help with your dog, whether it's a rescue dog, helping to reconcile your emotional state, you know, any help at all, check out my website. I know I come off really, really hard and fast against this ideology. However, when I'm, you know, to expose the real problem here, when I'm, you know, helping people, I'm not there to be negative. I'm not there to tear you down. I'm not there when I help people, I'm there to help. People that come to me are ready for help. And it's all about moving forward in a positive way. On these shows, yeah, absolutely, I'm going to tear into this stuff, really challenge it for the sake of, you know, of the big picture, for the sake of truly trying to make a difference, trying to get people the right information and show that training is not a learning-based exercise. It's a relational changing process. So anyway, thanks for watching the show or listening. I appreciate it. I encourage you to check out my next show's coming up. Hope you have a great day.